You were talking the other day about this preacher that can't do away with the Old Testament.
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you give us a word out of Acts when you were talking about that or not?
I did. Acts 17?
Yeah, 17:11.
The Bereans.
I read that. I've been reading through Acts.
Yeah.
And it's 17:11. Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
I thought, that sounds too familiar. I know the brother didn't give me that, but I couldn't.
Right. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
If anybody asked us 17:11, give them the correct answer. It is. They studied the scriptures.
To see.
Daily.
Yeah.
To see for sure that that was true.
What he preached about the Christ, about his life, about his death, about his blood, and about the power of the resurrection. The scriptures, which was the Old Testament, validated. They said, yes, we see that this has been foretold by God would happen, and we see it happening in this Jesus for whom you preach to us.
So that gives us the power to say that studying the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
is a good thing.
Yeah, without question. You know, Paul told Timothy that studying the Old Testament, the Scriptures, made him wise for salvation, made him wise for deliverance.
Yeah.
Because what God breathed upon men to write was written for our doctrine, our reproof, that is, to put to mind what was out of line, correct us, that was out of line, and then give us instructions on how to live in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3.
Yeah.
And then that we may be thoroughly furnished or equipped for every good work. Look at that. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy 3. What doctrine is for clarification. That God has truth, teaching, that clarifies everything else in life. God's Word brings clarity to everything else. Without God's Word, everything going to be misunderstood. And doctrine, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says in verse number 15, in that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is reference to the Older Testament. I don't know if you ever pay attention to how I use those terms. I don't just refer to it as the Old Testament and the New Testament. I refer to them as the Older and the New, because in the idea of the Old in our modern day, people think, okay, well, that is exactly the way it sounds. It's archaic. It has no value to us. It's useless. And that's what a lot of people propagate. That's why a lot of your people don't have any clue of the Old Testament. They don't have any, even teachers and preachers don't get in the Word of God as far as the Old Testament. So I try to refer to it as the Old Testament, not that it's old, but it's just older than our newer, and it's the foundation of what our new stands on, and the New Testament gives clarification to the old. So we see that. So the scriptures that he's referring to are going to make him and anybody else wise for salvation. And that salvation, and that word salvation, has the dual picture of not only saving grace, but God's sufficient grace for deliverance. That God's delivering work in our life is also going to be found in the scriptures. Not just wise to obtain salvation in Christ, but to walk in that salvation, which is the daily deliverance that we find in Him, is going to be found in that too. So we see the essential need for the Word. He goes on to say, in verse 16, all Scripture, Holy Writ, is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means breathed. God breathed it into men. And it is profitable, beneficial for doctrine. That's clarification. It is profitable for reproof. That's conviction. That's what reproof does. It convicts us based on the clarification that our life is out of line with what God clarified in His doctrine, in His teaching. And then correction, and that's exactly what it means. God's Word is to bring clarification, to bring conviction, and then correct us that is misaligned, and then for confirmation, to confirm the instructions of righteousness, to confirm the ways of God. And then what does that do? It completes us as far as being thoroughly furnished, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped or furnished for every good work. So we see both sides. We see both salvation, we see the sanctification in Christ, and the progressive sanctification of Christ in our daily journey. We find justification in the Scriptures, in Christ, and then we find the righteousness of God in Christ for our daily living. So God's Word brings clarification, conviction, correction, then confirmation of God's ways, and then it completes us, completion, on knowing that we have been furnished with what is needful to not only walk with God in this good work, but then go forth and teach that same good work to other people. And that's the whole gist of it there. It's not that, okay, I've got something now that I can walk in, but I have something that I can walk in and then go clearly communicate that to someone else. So this completion leads to my communication of the Word of God to other people around me. That, hey, God gave me clarification about this in life. I was wrong. He convicted me over it. He then corrected me in it. Then he confirmed His way to me in it. He completed me and then gave me the ability to go communicate it to other people and say, come, let's go walk in this together. And that's just the process of everyday living with Jesus. And where is that founded? That's founded in both the older and the newer testament. Because we believe the newer testament is also God-breathed and inspired by God.
Sure. That's the same thing when Philip was talking to the eunuch. And he goes, how can I understand this? Let some man show me. He had the older testament.
He was using Isaiah 53. And he was saying, who is this? What is this all about? And Philip said, look, let me give clarification. Let me show you how God convicted me, how God corrected me, how God confirmed me, how God completed me, and I'm going to communicate that to you and give you understanding in it.
And to throw that away is to say that the power or righteousness of God is ineffective and wrong. Well, that's just blasphemy to me.
To throw that out allows a person to then dictate their own agenda.
Right.
To market themselves. That's the whole thing. It takes the divine factor and the divine element out and says, look, logically speaking, this would be the best approach. This is my way of thinking. This would be most effective. It's worked most effective in my life. I think it's going to work most effective in your life. And that's what men have done throughout history, is that men felt like they had the right to renegotiate what God has already given in His Word as clarity. And He tells us on numerous occasions, if they ever attempt to deviate you or unhitch you from what I've already said, even though they have great success, even though what they say comes to pass and it looks like it works, if it is to move you off from what I've already communicated, you know you have a false prophet and a false teacher among you. It doesn't matter how good it sounds. It doesn't matter how effective that it appears. God says, I will let them have power to do miraculous things, and I'll do it to test you to whether or not you love me and will stick with me, or will you love what you see and go follow after them? And God says He do that. Deuteronomy 13. Look in Peter. Look in 2 Peter